Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS edition, Daily Fantasy Sports. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host and our FanDuel specialist, PFW Fantasy Football contributor and Northwest Herald sports editor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle Neighbors, how did week three go for you on FanDuel?
Well, my idea of being contrarian and trying to avoid the landmines at our early season NFL continued to work out pretty well. Devontae Parker got some garbage time points for me, which was very nice, so I can't complain. How about you? How things go over on DraftKings?
You know, I managed to avoid Jay Ajayi, so my week was not completely ruined. Mostly okay. I ended up with a profitable week. I ended up doing more of the shorter slates and playing less of the main slate. I got very heavily involved in that Thursday game, which was that Rams 49ers shootout, and really sold out on that game in a Thursday, Sunday morning London slate, just a little two game slate. But I had all the players from San Francisco and Los Angeles and ended up turning that into a pretty profitable day.
Well, that had to be fun because there were a lot of people that kind of just wrote that game off, and then Todd Gurley was running all over the place like it was 2 years ago.
Yep. And that's going to get us into our first topic here on the DFS podcast. The Rams-Cowboys game, it's crossed a couple of interesting thresholds for me this week. First, let me pull up the line here. It opened at 46.5 for the over-under, which is, you know, okay. Certainly playable, in my mind. But Dallas was favored by 9.5 at home. Since then, and we're taping this on Thursday afternoon, it has moved up to 48 points as the over-under, and Dallas favored by 6. So it went right through 7-6, which is an important standard in Vegas betting. So this game, I think, has the potential to shoot out and has a lot of players that are relatively affordable, whether you're looking at quarterback with Dak and Goff. Running back, you know, you're going to pay up whether it's Zeke or Gurley or both, but I don't mind doing it for either one. But then at wide receiver, Dez Bryant's really underpriced. You know, all the Rams wide receivers, pick one, really, are underpriced. So, Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this game because I think this one could really shoot out and has some guys that are certainly playable.
Okay, but well, before I give mine, I actually want to hear your opinion because I think we're kind of on different sides here. I'm not very high on this game. So I guess what is drawing you to this game?
What's drawing me to this game is I don't think either defense can really stop anyone. I think the Rams certainly proved that last Thursday in that shootout with the 49ers, and now they have to go on the road. I know Wade Phillips is still, you know, coaching that defense, but it's his first year there. He's still getting the system in. It's a bit of a transition year for that defense. And, I mean, Dallas, look, they just got worked, by Larry Fitzgerald last week. They haven't really proven to be a very strong defense quite yet. I think this game, and I think Vegas is starting to agree with me on this, that this game could really shoot out because we've seen the over-under, you know, really jump up since the line was set.
I don't know how to view that. Like the game last week, the Thursday night game, really kind of screwed with my early season feelings on the Rams because I thought the defense was better. I don't know how exactly to measure last week's game. Is it an aberration? Is the Rams defense not as good as I thought it was? It was a Thursday night game on the road for them, so I don't know how much that plays into it. And then you have Dallas comes out and look, Dak lights up the world the other night. He had just a tremendous game. I don't know what Dez's price is on DraftKings, but he's 7,800 on FanDuel. I don't mind that. I think my favorite play out of the entire group is if he actually gets into the game after going through concussion protocol this week is Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. I'm not really interested in Cooper Kupp. He's just kind of, he's a third option in the offense. Outside of that week one game, he hasn't really been there. I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to gravitate to Robert Woods.
I like Woods he's kind of a decent deep threat. He caught 6 of 7 balls for 108 yards in that shootout. I think he's a decent play, and he's only 3,900 on DraftKings. He doesn't need much to pay off.
Yeah, and then at running back, I don't. If you play Zeke or Todd Gurley, I don't have any problem with it. There's just a lot of cheaper running backs I like this week, to where I can pay up at other spots.
Yeah, I get that. So I really like Dak this week. And like you said, he sort of lit up the world. And you look at his last two games at Denver, at Arizona. Those are two really good secondaries you're going up against. And he scored 17 DraftKings points against Denver and 22 against Arizona. He's rushing the ball decent. He's completing passes at a good clip. He's throwing a couple of touchdown passes. And now he gets to come home and face the Rams. I mean, that's. If he can score 17 and 22 on the road against good defenses, I've got to think he's in good position to have a high scoring game against the Rams at home.
See, I disagree. I mean, the Denver game was a perfect game flow for him, where he had to pass the ball. I mean, he threw the ball 50 times in that game.
He did.
And in most weeks, particularly in a game where they're favored at home, I just don't think you're going to get enough volume for Dak to make it worth it in GPPs.
Okay. I mean, I like Dak more as a cash play than because I think he's got a high floor this week than a GPP play, but I'll find a way onto some tournament lineups for me.
Okay. He's on FanDuel. He's put up 17, 17, and 22. I mean, he's definitely a cash game play. I just don't think you're going to get the ceiling that you need in GPPs.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. And I'm looking at running back this week, and a guy who I think is going to be kind of chalky, because not only because of the opponent, but because he has seen a significant increase in playing time, and that is Joe Mixon of the Bengals, the rookie who is starting to emerge in Bill Lazor's offense, no longer Ken Zampezi's offense. I think Bill Lazor is really looking for more. I mean, not a true bell cow situation, but not a three-headed monster like it was under Zampezi. How much do you like Mixon this week, and is he going to find his way onto most of your lineups, some of your lineups? Where are you at on Joe Mixon this week?
Well, here's the thing. I really like him. He looked really good last week. He looked elusive. He looked like he had some good power. I do think that he's going to see his role expanded in this offense in the coming weeks. And obviously this is about a perfect matchup for him. You're not going to – it's hard to pass up a guy. He's $5,600 on FanDuel. At that price, it's really hard to pass someone up. But I think you're going to – because of all those things, I think he's going to be one of the chalkiest plays at running back this week. And I think there are enough cheap plays, at least on FanDuel, that I'm probably going to fade him for the most part. I am going to put him in a few GPP lineups because he's got enough upside, particularly at that price. I don't think there's a scenario where he doesn't at least meet value. My hope is, though, he's not going to exceed volume, and a lot of people are going to be banking on that. And that's kind of where I'm at. How about you?
The matchup is too good for me to ignore it. And he is pretty cheaply priced, $5,700 on DraftKings. At Cleveland, I feel like the game script just sets up perfectly for him. And if he's going to get the volume, the increase in volume that he's seen each week, if that even stays level or goes up a little bit, I don't think I'll be able to get away from Mixon this week.
Yeah, there's four running backs in the mid tier that I really like, and that's the only thing that will keep me from gravitating toward Mixon. Also, I'm also a huge fan of AJ Green again this week, and I'm not sure there's going to be enough scoring to go around in that Cincinnati offense for me to play both Mixon and AJ Green, and I just don't see a way I'm fading AJ Green in this matchup. So I'm looking at other running backs. The two pricier guys are Dalvin Cook, who I am just absolutely in love with. At home against Detroit, C.J. Anderson at home against Oakland. I'm a little bit worried about his playing time with Jamal Charles there. You saw it last week, but it is a game where they're going to be ahead, I think, against Oakland. But the two guys that I'm really, really looking at hard are Christian McCaffrey, because Carolina is going to be trailing at New England, and I do worry about the Patriots scheming to take him away, but Cam Newton has to throw the ball to someone. And I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a huge usage in this game at $6,400 on FanDuel. I'm probably going to be firing him up. And the other guy, and I was sending this to you on Twitter yesterday, give me all of the Chris Carson. I mean, a game at home against a terrible Indianapolis defense. CJ Procise is almost certainly not going to play. Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy are just not factors. Just give me – I will take all the shares I can get of Chris Carson. And for some reason, I listen to a lot of podcasts, read a lot of different experts around the DFS community, and Chris Carson just seems to be going under the radar, and I don't really understand it.
I think he's a play that people like but don't love. And I think part of the reason is everyone wants to play Russell Wilson in that if you're playing in a slate that includes the Sunday night game. I think Russell Wilson is in an ideal spot. Carson, I think, gets there on volume. I 3.1 yards a carry at Tennessee. Got a couple of catches. Fine. I think Chris Carson is a totally fine play. He's going to be on some of my lineups. I don't think I'm going to be as exposed to him as you are, though.
Yeah, I think my big concern with Chris Carson was that he wasn't going to get enough touches. When we were talking with Arthur Arkish of Pro Football Weekly in our season-long league, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I was concerned about Thomas Rawls coming back. He doesn't look to be a factor. And C.J. Procise, who they love on third down, with him likely out at least 1 week, if not more, Chris Carson is going to get as much as he can handle. And I expect Indianapolis to be running away with this game and Chris Carson to be touching the ball. I mean, I'm expecting 20 to 25 touches easily for him in this game.
Yeah, and at that price, that's a lock and load type situation, I think.
Yeah, I don't see a way that he doesn't smash value.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next topic. And I just have one question for you here, Kyle. Are we burning money by playing Cam Newton this week?
Oh, God.
He has never been this cheap on DraftKings or FanDuel. This is his cheapest price in the history of those sites. He's at New England. New England has given up the most points in fantasy to quarterbacks.
I don't know. I can't do it. I understand that the potential is still there. I mean, this is a guy that lit the world on fire 2 years ago, but he just looked awful at home against New England, or not against New England, against the Saints. I mean, three interceptions last week. I don't think the shoulder is healthy. Their offense is decimated by injury right now. I mean, it does look like Kelvin Benjamin might try and play, but he's nowhere near 100%. No, I'm not falling for it. I'm going to let other people try and chase it. No thanks.
Yeah, I think Cam's going to be on maybe one or two lineups for mine this week if I'm making 20, and that's it. Just because his ownership level is going to be less than 1%, I feel like.
Really?
I feel like it's going to be less than 1%. I think people won't be able to click Cam when it comes down to it. I think there's so many other good plays this week at quarterback.
Yeah,
people won't want to click him.
See, there's several other guys either at his price or under his price on FanDuel that I'm just more interested in that I think have higher ceilings.
Yeah, and there are plenty of those guys on DraftKings too, and we'll get to those guys in a second. But yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on Cam because I think I'm gonna have a sprinkle just because the price and the matchup, but it certainly won't be anything more than that. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just lighting money on fire.
Yeah, it's hard not to get it's hard to get away from that feeling at this point.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go over some of our favorite plays at each position on each site. Kyle, let's start with quarterback. Who are some of the guys you're really keeping an eye on at quarterback?
Okay, well, so it's the pricing on FanDuel for their main slate's really kind of odd this week. I don't remember the last time it was like this. You have Tom Brady at 9,500. And then you go all the way down to 8,000 for Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. I really like Brady in this situation, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that are kind of forcing him into lineups this week. So I'm going to go down. There's a few guys that I like. I think Carson Wentz, again, is a quality play. But a couple of my favorite plays here are actually Deshaun Watson and Tyrod Taylor. What do you think of those two?
I like both of them. I think Watson is going to be the most owned quarterback of the week, to be honest with you, because of the price and because we all saw that what he did at New England, and now he gets to come home, I believe, and the price is so low and people want to pay down for quarterback whenever possible. So I think the Watson's not a bad play at all. Just know that there's going to be a lot of traffic on him. A guy that is $100 more expensive on DraftKings that I really like is Trevor Siemian. He might be my favorite QB play of the week. He's back home, you know, after going to Buffalo, and that's not an easy place to go and perform well. And now he gets a very burnable Oakland secondary. And Simeon's only $100 more expensive than Deshaun Watson.
Now, I looked at the over-under on the Oakland-Denver game, and it was a lot lower than I expected. And Denver's only favored by 3. I feel like Vegas is telling us something there. I feel like they're telling us they don't expect a very fast-paced, high-scoring game.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be fast-paced and high-scoring. I think Simeon can repeat what he did in week one, you know, week two, where he's putting up, you know, 23 to 25 points, you know, a couple hundred yards, 2-3 touchdowns. Doesn't really need to do a ton more than that to really crush his value.
Here's a guy, also in that same price range, are you buying Carson Palmer at home against the Niners?
I am. I absolutely am. I think this false narrative that Carson Palmer's washed up, he definitely isn't. He's still got some zip on the ball. This is a great matchup. He's at home. I don't see any way Palmer doesn't hit value this week. He's only 6,100 on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's 74 on FanDuel, and you know how I feel about the Arizona offense, but he's just sitting there staring at me. I won't do it.
You're not going
to
do it.
We've talked about. Now, we're going to get to a wide receiver that you can probably guess at this point with the way I'm talking, but I'm willing to go to that route, but I've been burned too many times in the last year by the Palmer Fitzgerald stack that I can live with taking Fitzgerald, but I can't stack it. I won't do it. I refuse.
Not gonna click there. One more guy, and I think he's the guy who's gonna end up on really most of my lineups in the main slate, and that's Phillip Rivers at home against the Eagles, bouncing. You know, I think we probably could have easily predicted that last week was gonna be a bad spot. He does pretty terrible in division games, especially against the Broncos and the Chiefs. Now he gets an out-of-division game against Philly and their vulnerable secondary. I think Rivers bounces back and has a huge game in this one.
Yeah, you're going to get 3 to 4 of those games from Phillip Rivers a year where he just decides he's going to give the ball to the other team as many times as he can. Mm-hmm. Now, he typically
bounces back.
Actually what I was just about to say. He typically bounces back, and you're probably going to get him at lower ownership than you should this week. I don't think it's a bad play.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to running back. Kyle, who are some of your favorite plays at running back on FanDuel?
Yeah, so I kind of went through them. Like I said, Chris Carson and McCaffrey are up there. I love Dalvin Cook. Outside of that, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to play Leonard Fournette, but I think he's going to go over-owned given the matchup. How do you feel about that?
But Fournette, I think that he is a pretty good play this week. I think that people may be a little scared off of him because of it's still Jacksonville and because the Jets surprisingly looked okay against Ajayi last week, even though Ajayi was hurt.
Yeah, I don't think Jay Ajayi is anywhere near healthy.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't mind Fournette as a play this week at all.
Okay, and if you're paying up, I think the best option is Devonta Freeman.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Freeman at home in a game that another one that could shoot out. I love the Freeman play. He's the, let's see, fifth most expensive running back on DraftKings, and he's 1,400 cheaper than Le'Veon Bell. So Freeman's probably my favorite top guy this week. But I want to ask you about one guy that I think could have a pretty good day and certainly has a high floor, and that's LeSean McCoy in the same game on the other side. What do you think about McCoy at Atlanta this week?
You know, I think kind of a fun tournament stack is actually if you put Tyrod and LeSean McCoy together.
You'll get most, if not all, of Buffalo's rushing yards then.
Yes, because I think McCoy is going to get a fair amount of ownership in this game. Atlanta's linebackers have been awful against receiving running backs, but you're not going to get a lot of people that have McCoy and Tyrod together. And I think with Tyrod's rushing ability and the fact that if he throws a couple touchdowns, there's a decent probability one of them is going to be to McCoy. I think that's a fun tournament stack. How about you?
I'd throw Charles Clay in there too.
Yeah, you could do a three-man stack with Charles Clay. I mean, I think I was reading earlier that he's scored in 7 of his last 9 games now. That's a pretty good clip.
Yeah, and Atlanta's not fantastic against tight ends, and Clay is a favorite target for Taylor. So I if you're going to go in on this game, I think that's a decent way to start.
Yeah, and Vegas definitely thinks that there is some shootout potential there. The over-under is up there, and it's been on the rise here the last day or so.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of those plays, really. Dalvin Cook is a favorite of mine. He's only 6,500 on DraftKings. He should be more expensive than that. I mean, just plain and simple.
Yeah, you know, the early season talk has been Kareem Hunt. I think at the end of the year, we're going to be looking at Dalvin Cook, and people are going to be going, why wasn't he taken higher?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one more guy I'll throw in. Matt Forte is out for the Jets. So Bilal Powell, he crushed last year when Forte was out. Now Forte's out, and Jacksonville's got a stellar pass defense. You know, the Jets are going to have to find some way to move the ball, and Powell's a guy, especially on DraftKings with full-point PPR. He's a guy that's going to get some targets, I think, from Josh McCown.
Yeah, go right ahead if you want to do that. I'm it's the Jets. I'm not getting involved, and I think that you're going to see a lot of people kind of flock that way. You know, he's Powell's 6,100 on FanDuel. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Elijah McGuire ends up getting a lot more of the snaps than people are expecting, and that Powell doesn't get to value based on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not like thrilled about Powell, but he's a guy that I'm interested in. All right. Let's move on to wide receiver. Kyle, who are some of your favorite plays of wide receiver on FanDuel?
Just fire up AJ Green. If you don't, you're throwing away money. They're going to continue to target him heavily in the revamped offense, and he has historically smashed Cleveland. He's still only 8,000 on FanDuel. I mean, he needs to be up closer to 9,000, particularly in this matchup. I like Sammy Watkins if he comes back healthy. DeAndre Hopkins, big fan. If you're going to play Watson, stack him with DeAndre Hopkins. Keenan Allen, if you like Rivers, which I do. And then Larry Fitzgerald, which I swore off, and I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I... Only a couple weeks later, I'm back in this spot. But with them having the late game this past week, the pricing was already out, and FanDuel didn't get a chance to react to it. He's still only 6,700 at home against San Francisco, who he's absolutely smacked around the last few years. I don't see how he doesn't put up at least 15 points.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting away from Larry Fitzgerald this week at all. And only 6,100 on DraftKings. He's $100 cheaper than Michael Crabtree and Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah, I'm blaming you for this because I know at this time next week I'm going to be cursing you. So this is just preemptively. This is all your fault.
You know what? I'll take the blame for that. And when he goes out and you know, only scores one touchdown, I'll take the blame for that. A guy that I'm interested in this week, in kind of the same price range, at least on DraftKings, is Golden Tate. Minnesota, again, I'm gonna target Trey Waynes whenever possible. And Golden Tate runs most of his routes on the inside, so he's going to avoid Xavier Rhodes, Mr. Rhodes Closed, as that's the nickname I think that has taken hold. I really like Golden Tate in this matchup. What do you think of Tate?
Yeah, I mean, I know you had some success with this theory last week, taking DeSean Jackson. I don't think it's a bad play. I actually like the other side of the ball. I think Stephon Diggs is one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. I do worry about his matchup with Darius Slay, but he's one of those guys that I think he's still cheap enough that you should be targeting Diggs, and I love Adam Thielen in this spot. I think he's going to be in line for 8 to 10 targets.
Yeah, I'm going to have way more Thielen than Diggs just because Thielen is so much cheaper than Diggs, and I think they are equally capable of gigantic days. So if the ceiling is about the same, I'm going to take the guy that's cheaper.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. I don't think the ceiling is the same though. I mean, like I said, Darius Slay, very, very good. Stephon Diggs is special. He's performed well in the past. I know he performed. I think he only played Detroit one time last year, but he didn't disappoint. I think that you're going to see them targeting him often. I think he moves around enough too that that he should be okay.
Okay. Yeah, I should say ceiling for this matchup, not ceiling like for the season. Diggs is obviously, I think, just a special route runner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot special about Stephon Diggs, and you're going to find him on a lot of my rosters throughout the year. Any other cheap wide receivers you like?
No, I'm kind of clustered when it comes to my receivers this week. You know, I've heard a little bit of buzz about Rishard Matthews. What do you think of him?
I'm actually looking at the other guy that I like in that game. That's Eric Decker. I think he's starting to get more targets, get more comfortable in the offense. He's also got a decently high percentage share of red zone targets and has not found the end zone yet. So I'm sort of banking on a he's due type thing just because I think there's going to be a little regression in the mean on that.
Okay. You know what? For all the Chris Carson I'm taking, you can have the Eric Decker.
I'm gonna have a little Decker. I'm not overly thrilled about it. but yeah, I like Matthews too. Matthews is I think he's becoming Marcus Mariota's number one option. Certainly surpassing Delanie Walker, I think.
You know, if you're a big fan of the Patriots this week, which you should be, you shouldn't count out Brandon Cooks. I would say that. Do not play Chris Hogan. I know he had another good game last week. I think that streak's going to end soon. With Amendola back, Hogan is not running as near as many routes in the slot, and I just don't think that he's going to see enough targets. You know, he had two touchdowns last week, and that's just, I mean, it's unsustainable with the amount of targets he's going to get with Amendola healthy.
Yep. All right, let's move on to tight end. And really, tight end is tough on DraftKings this week, and I'll want to get your perspective on it on FanDuel, but Rob Gronkowski's price went down for a reason that I mean, Carolina's good against tight ends, but I can't think of any other reason that I think Gronk is still in an amazing matchup, and his price went down, I believe, $300. Zach Ertz is only $300 cheaper than Gronk, and after that, I really, there's not anyone I really like until you get all the way down to Charles Clay at $3,700, so you've either got to pay up or you're really paying down at tight end on DraftKings this week. Is it the same on FanDuel?
I've already decided it's either going to be Gronk or Ertz for me. I'm paying up at the position this week. I just think the ceiling is too high on both of those guys, and there's just too much volatility on some of the cheaper ones. Now, on the cheaper ones, there are a couple options if you want to take the chance. Like we were saying, Charles Clay is finding the end zone a lot. It's going to be in a game where Buffalo is probably throwing the ball a ton, and I don't think that's a bad way to go. He doesn't have as near as high of a ceiling as those other two guys. And then Cameron Brate is a guy that, I mean, the Giants are just hemorrhaging points to tight ends on a weekly basis. I don't think that's a bad way to go either. How about you?
Yeah, I like Brate. I also like Evan Engram on the other side of that matchup. He keeps getting consistently about 7 targets a game, and he's 3,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap on DraftKings. He's in the same price range as Clay, Brate, and even Kyle Rudolph on FanDuel, so I'm not going to go that route. But I understand for $3,000 on DraftKings, that's worth a look.
Yeah, that's almost the – if I'm not – I'm with you. I think I'm paying up for Gronk and Ertz, but if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go all the way down to that, and that's about it. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football DFS podcast. My name is John Solly. For Kyle Neighbors, good luck in your matchups this weekend.